Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, August 1st, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Hey, Lisa, guess what?
Huh.
Wing TV is back online.
Thank God.
Now, we had a pretty bad weekend trying to get this back up online, but we're here again, and we want to say thank you, first of all, to everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got phone calls, we got messages left on our machine, we got literally hundreds of emails asking us.
Late into the night, we were getting phone calls.
Yeah. So we're back up, and we'll give you a quick overview of what happened. Now, we want everyone to know that we're not computer whizzes by any stretch of the imagination, but Friday morning, somehow, the place that has our domain name...
It was actually Thursday morning.
Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Well, it went down. They had some kind of technical glitch, and what it did was it reset all of their domain names back to the default, which
right.
meant it redirected them back to their own site.
Our name servers were incorrectly pointing back to the domain host rather than to where they should have been pointing.
Right.
So
then
sort of it takes a second to cause this problem and over two days to fix the mess.
Because then there was something with our server that was rerouting incorrectly. And then finally, when it was correct, it had to take time to go the whole way through the system to update everything.
To get propagated out to the rest of the Internet.
Yeah. So, I mean, from my perspective, when we sit here in front of the camera and this goes out onto the Internet, to me it seems like a miracle because I don't understand what happens once it leaves our computer.
You don't realize that every single computer in the world has to be able to recognize a website. And so it takes time to do that and... So we were rather impatient about it, but we have a very good server and some very competent people that fixed this problem for us.
Yeah, and we want to thank everyone out there for their concern. I mean, one person said that when we weren't on, it was like losing a part of their family. Another person said they were starting to go through the Wing TV 12-step withdrawal.
Other people thought we didn't pay our bill or got seized by the feds or microwaved. No, none of that stuff happened.
Yeah, we're just glad to be on. So now, we were supposed to have Mark Farrell on last Friday. Well, we did do the interview, but by the time our site came up, it was late Saturday afternoon. We figured, why put it up now? So what we're going to do is we're going to put his show on this upcoming Friday, have it on all weekend, and also some of the articles that we were going to run on Friday we held off on. But so what we're going to do now is tomorrow we're going to have a guy named Mark Glenn on our show. Mm-hmm. He wrote this book, No Beauty in the Beast. Then on Wednesday,
we're going to have Morgan Reynolds on our show. We're really excited about that. We can't wait. So
yeah, we got to meet him down in D.C. Mm-hmm. And Lisa got to talk to him longer than I did. But we're very much looking forward to that. Then on Thursday, a guy named Bob Raming, who wrote this book, War and Death of the American Dream. Mm-hmm. And then, as I said, Friday, Mark Farrell. So that's how our week's going to go. And one thing we're going to talk about on Friday, or at least mention, was disastrous to this country, and that was the passage of CAFTA.
Right. Right. So the final tally, as everybody knows by now, was 217 to 216. Mm-hmm. One of the votes was not even tallied properly. The no vote that would have created a tie, which would have kept CAFTA from passing, was prevented from happening because Representative Joanne Davis, a Republican from Virginia, was supposedly caught in a traffic jam coming back from the Boy Scout Jamboree. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ms. Davis, for having your priorities in order. Also, member Robin Hayes, another Republican, this one from North Carolina, switched his vote from no to yes under last-minute pressure from Dennis Hastert. Thanks a lot for that. And Charles Taylor, a Republican from North Carolina, tried to vote no, and supposedly the voting machine would not record his nay vote, and so he said he was reinserting his no vote into the record, but of course, CAFTA still passed. This doesn't change anything.
Right. If you want to know more about this, there's an article on the Wing TV homepage. And since we're talking about CAFTA, a gentleman I'm sure everybody knows, Dana Rohrabacher, he was the one who was supposed to reopen the Oklahoma City investigation. Well, he hasn't talked to Chris Emery or Charles Keenow or returned her calls for the last 3.5 months. And Dana Rohrabacher, by the way, voted in favor of CAFTA. We can't put too much faith in this.
Remember, each new agreement that passes makes the U.S. more and more dependent upon other countries for the products that it requires. Once the capacity to produce a product is lost, the possibility of rebuilding that capacity is remote.
Yeah.
These are really treaties, not agreements. They're calling them agreements, but they're actually really treaties.
Mm-hmm. Now, on another front, this is some interesting information we found out over the weekend, was that Cynthia McKinney,
mm-hmm.
she's a Democrat in Congress, and she spoke two Fridays ago, or she held some hearings in Washington, D.C. This was the day before the D.C. Truth Convergence that we attended. Well, we found out that some of the people that were there for the hearing were who was called the Jersey Girls. These are wives of men that were lost on 9/11.
Right.
Well, it ends up that these Jersey Girls, these widows, refused to allow people like David Ray Griffin to speak at these hearings.
To appear with them.
Can you believe this now? They said
First
that they,
of all, why are they even dictating the terms?
Correct. And secondly, they said that they wouldn't appear on the same stage as David Ray Griffin because he delves too much into conspiracy and government involvement in 9/11.
It's
Can
very,
you believe that?
It's very peculiar that these Jersey widows would not even have a slight curiosity about what actually happened on 9/11. Wouldn't you be wanting to gather as much information that's out there about what happened if you lost your spouse, whom you supposedly love? These people would not appear if David Ray Griffin appeared. So he was denied.
And why would Cynthia McKinney bow to the Jersey Girls instead of allowing David Ray Griffin? She is a very, very suspicious woman, and we have to... There's a lot of people in this movement that champion her as some kind of salvation, but at every turn, it seems like she drops the ball and lets us down. So
I think we need to remind everybody that the Jersey Girls have been corralled in the past by 9/11 gatekeeper Kyle Hentz.
That's right.
So, who was also part of this D.C. Truth Convergence. So they've been shepherded and corralled, and we can't understand why they would allow themselves to be led around that way.
Right. Now, 9/11 activist Nico Haupt has the best term yet for 911truth.org. He calls them war criminals. And we're going to devote a whole show sometime in the near future to this organization. And that's what they are. They're war criminals because they're doing everything humanly possible to keep the truth about 9/11 corralled and contained and not to let it out to the American public, and that's inexcusable.
Right. Okay. According to two senior administration officials, Bush plans to circumvent the Senate and nominate and install John Bolton today during Congress's recess. They don't come back till January 2007, so any recess appointment would last until Congress gets together again in January 2007. And Bolton's been accused of twisting intelligence to shape his ideology, which pretty much everyone else in politics is doing also, and he's also been accused of abusing subordinates.
Right.
You know, kind of like Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, he's also a very famous Zionist.
Uh-huh.
And the reason Bush did this was that he said since the Congress won't do an up or down vote on Bolton, what this is called is an intra-session mm-hmm. appointment. And as Lisa said, he's basically side-skirting the Congress and just saying, I'm going to do whatever I want to.
Right. This would end a five-month impasse between the administration and Democrats.
Right. Now, Al Gore, it was announced, his new TV network is going to come on TV today. It's called Current TV.
I was going to say, is it Robot TV?
Yeah. Well, and even though I don't have any problem whatsoever with insomnia, if ever there does come a time when I can't fall asleep at night, remind me to turn on this Current TV, because I'm sure within 5 minutes it'll put me to sleep.
Yikes. I know we don't really go much for polls, but Portrait of America is a group that conducted an interesting poll. They say that half of all Americans, 51%, barely half, would vote for passage of the U.S. Constitution now if the same document that was approved over 200 years ago was presented in ballot form. They say 22% would vote against it, 27% not sure. And the lack of constitutional support stems from high levels of public distrust in the government and politicians in general. They say that one of four believe their congressional reps are the best persons for the job. Recent surveys found that 72% view the government as a special interest group that primarily looks out for its own interests. Less than 40% think government today reflects the will of the people. They do think, most of them, that freedom of speech, the First Amendment, is a good thing, and most also think that the Second Amendment would be dangerous if we dropped the Second Amendment. So,
yeah. Well, I don't like polls whatsoever.
Then why don't we do something?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the idea because...
No, but this one's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's glad that they give these things their vote of confidence. I mean, how could they not? It's
just remember, it isn't the Constitution that has shredded this government. It's the other way around.
Yeah.
The government is shredding the Constitution.
That's right. Now, on another front, King Fahd has died. And he hasn't been in power in Saudi Arabia in over a decade, so people wonder, well, why does this really even matter? Well, King Fahd is actually one of the most influential and important people in current history because it was in the early 1970s, it was him, King Fahd, along with Henry Kissinger, Treasury Secretary William Simon, and Richard Nixon that brokered a secret agreement that said that all OPEC oil was going to be priced and sold in U.S. dollars. So what this effectively did was, it said that every single country in the world, if they wanted to buy OPEC oil, they had to use U.S. dollars to do it. And that still stands to this date. And what it did was basically give America this standing or this position where they can just be supported by the rest of the world. So he was a very influential man. And the things that happen behind the scenes are always more important than what we see on TV.
Japan has decided to punish the United States by imposing 15% levies on U.S. steel imports starting September 1st if the U.S. government doesn't repeal the amendment called the Byrd Amendment by then. They are doing these retaliatory measures with the blessing of the World Trade Organization, who considers the Byrd Amendment illegal and their retaliatory tariffs to be justified. See, it's wrong for the United States to want to protect American companies.
Right.
So it's better to let them dump steel at unfairly low prices in our country. So we have the Japanese decision following similar moves by the EU and Canada and six other countries who've slapped penalty tariffs on us to the tune of millions of dollars. Many, many millions of dollars on imports.
And they're allowed to do this because they have these globalist organizations like the World Trade Organization behind them. Now, Israel has said that they're going to launch a massive ground operation if they are fired upon by who they call Palestinian militants while they're in the middle of this Gaza resettlement or Gaza withdrawal. We'll have to keep our eyes open, and wouldn't it be very convenient if all of a sudden they were fired upon and took action and ends up being someone in the own Israeli government or defense ministry that does it to themselves.
Speaking of Israel, they plan to phase out their rubber bullets, which they use to kill many, many Palestinians, with these sand bullets now that supposedly won't break the skin and draw blood, but are said to be extremely painful. And it's kind of funny that this coincides with this these protesters who are not wanting to withdraw from Gaza. I guess they'd rather not kill other Israelis. They just want to hurt them instead of kill them the way they've been killing the Palestinians.
Yeah.
Although they're not withdrawing their new technology called the Scream.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, this is something Lisa and me have been talking about the last couple of days, this bird flu epidemic. Now, I read in a newspaper today that health officials are saying that is an inevitable influenza pandemic is going to befall the world. Inevitable is the way they say it. And to me, it's starting to sound peculiar, just like this whole peak oil gloom and doom stuff, that when they start using words like inevitable, that means that something is there waiting to happen. And
what we're reading is the United States has a stockpile of a million doses. They've ordered 3 million more doses just to bolster their stockpile. Hello, there's nearly 300 million people in this country, growing, of course, every day because of the illegal immigration problem. So how do they plan on protecting most people anyway?
Right,
it sounds to me like just a pretext to get people all fired up, freaked out, and there's not going to be enough vaccines, and they'll want to vaccinate all our kids and the elderly, and here we go again.
Well, 3 million doses sounds big, but in the whole scheme of things, that's 1% of the entire U.S.
population.
Right,
so who's
populace.
That helping anyway?
Exactly. Now, a couple weeks ago, world leaders met at the G8 summit, and we have to revert back again to the Bilderbergs. They're long... awaited goal of having or implementing a world gasoline tax. Well, there was something that came out of this called an Annex to G8 summit, which the United States is agreeing to create a UN working group where they can achieve something called the Millennium Development Goals. What is this? Well, they want to implement a global tax on the people of the world, but they only want people to learn about it after it has already been imposed. Doesn't that sound like par for the course?
We need to remember that the nation was built on self-reliance. And the more we end up being reliant upon other nations for products and whatnot, the less we can take care of ourselves, sustain our own nation. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's very important to start talking about this issue also with everyone you know? We need to amp up our communication and dialogue with other people who aren't privy to this information. On a daily basis.
Right. Now, two church groups are coming out and doing something that they don't often do. They're speaking out against Israel. First is the United Church of Christ, and they said that they should use economic leverage to promote peace in the Middle East. Specifically, they want Israel to tear down this wall that they've been building that divides Israel from the Palestinians. Also, the Presbyterian Church came out, and they said that they should divert investments away from companies that are doing business with the Israelis. Now, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, after hearing about this, said that these are examples of fundamentally anti-Semitism. Again, par for the course.
Yeah. We've had two New Hampshire possible illegal aliens arrested for, get this, selling counterfeit social security cards and identification. I hate to keep bringing this up, but it's happening all over now. Supposedly they're getting penalized. They're going through the law enforcement, the jail process and all that. But I don't hear anybody saying they need to deport them.
Right.
They're looking at prior arrest convictions and whatnot. How many does it take? How about one? And you're out.
Exactly. Now, check out this story, Lisa. U.S. scientists are now trying to implant human brain cells into the fetuses of monkeys to create some kind of chimera-type being.
They already did that with Bush, didn't they?
Yeah. Now, there's also legislation being, or at least being proposed, that's going to outlaw this type of chimera-type research. Mm-hmm. And I have to stop and ask, what kind of world are we living in where they want to put human brain cells into monkey fetuses? And what is this going to be like, the island of Dr. Moreau?
So then, are we going to have monkeys applying for jobs and things like that?
In the government.
Driving cars and stuff like
it's
that?
It's just incredible.
Well, I do want to remind everybody again, because we haven't been talking about it lately, 9/11, high noon at Ground Zero. Mm-hmm. We're going to be out there, and we urge everybody who can make it to make it. We want to show a strong public presence for 9/11 truth and the crux issue, which is controlled demolition of the World Trade Center towers. We just watched some more footage yesterday.
Yeah,
about
we'd like
this.
To thank Steve, who sent us this videotape.
Mm-hmm. And it's intense still to this day.
Yeah,
and
this
we're heading
was
on
the,
4 years.
This was the Fox News coverage that was captured live by Steve. He sent it to
us.
And it was amazing how many of the people that were eyewitnesses that were interviewed down on the street.
Right, by
after,
Rick Leventhal, who's a Fox correspondent.
Yeah.
Almost all of them said words that were bombs, explosions.
Yeah, and one person even said, you know, he said there was a bomb, and Leventhal said, you mean from where the plane hit the towers? And he says, no,
before.
There were bombs in the building. So this was the live footage, and we want to thank Steve. If anyone else has, you know, live footage like this, make a copy of it, send it to us.
And one that was really profound to me was the guy who said there was an explosion before the building even started to collapse.
Yeah. Yeah, this was live right on the streets as it was happening. Okay, real quick, a couple more stories. The Real ID Act, everybody knows about this. Well, recently, the country's governors met with Michael Chertoff, who's the head of Homeland Security, and they're criticizing this nationalized ID card that's going to become nationwide. Mm-hmm. Their biggest gripe is that it's going to cost each of the states an incredible amount of money. And since the federal government is already broke, they don't have enough money to just be doling out to everyone.
So they'll just print more.
Right. And also, Governor Tom Vilsack, I think, from Iowa, said that this was going to be a great imposition and a great cost to all the everyday motorists in this country. They're going to have to get new IDs and new licenses and so forth. So this, they're bringing this to Chertoff's attention. Whether he's listening is a whole other story.
It doesn't seem to matter anymore. We live in such a relative world now where no means yes and is doesn't mean is and whatever. So it looks like, considering the EU vote where the Dutch and the Netherlands voted no, but it's considered yes, it's sort of trickling into America. We got people against CAPTA, they pass it.
Right.
This is reflective of the will of the American people?
Yeah. If the CAPTA vote would have been put up to all the American people, I guarantee it never would have passed, because people still remember the disasters of NAFTA and GATT.
Well, and it's not helping the American farmer. It's not helping American industry. What it's doing is killing American industry.
That's right. And last but not least, it's been announced that now the top source of drug implementation or importation into America is coming from Mexico. It's surpassing Afghanistan. It's surpassing Colombia. Right now, the main source of drugs coming into this country is Mexico. So what does the President of the United States and all of the globalists want to do? They want to keep the borders
open.
Come
on down, yes.
And porous. So, you know,
and they're showing an influx of illegals in the Northeast. As I stated about a week or so ago, there's more articles on the Internet today about the influx that's sweeping the Northeast.
Right. So, it's good to be back here on Wing TV. We want to thank everyone again for tuning in, for their kind words when we were offline.
Yeah, we thank you very much. We appreciate your concern very much.
Yeah, and we'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Mark Glenn. He's going to talk about this book, No Beauty in the Beast. Look at that cover. So, tune in then, folks, and keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
See you then.